Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Today, we're going to kind of wrap up our last Sunday in our series on looking at God's plan for marriage. I hope that you have enjoyed it and been challenged about it. Each week we've kind of started, you know, with some stories, some positive and some negative stories. And I came across a story of a couple who was kind of having some arguments over what type of vehicle to get. They were going to purchase a new vehicle. The husband really, really, really wanted a new truck and thought about all the different things to explain. You know, we could do this with it, we could work with it. And the wife really wanted a sports car. And they were at an impasse and they were arguing back and forth. And finally she said, look, here's the deal. I want something that's going to go a 0 to 180 in 4 seconds or less. Okay, that's the criteria. And my birthday's next week. This better happen. And so he thought about it for a while. And so her birthday came, she went into the garage, nothing was there in the garage. She was very, very upset. So she stormed back upstairs and she got into the room and she went to get ready and brush her teeth in the restroom there in their bathroom, was a big bow, and on the bow said, this will go a 0 to 180 in 4 seconds or less, and it was on a new scale. So it was not a good thing. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. They're in counseling now. That was bad. That was bad. That's an old joke. That's an old joke. Everybody's heard that one before. No. There's a Gary Mendenhall just got it. There we go. No, the deal is there's an old saying that that a man is incomplete until he's married and then he's finished. And I think that couple is kind of like that. In all fairness now, in 1996, there was a movie that was out that kind of caught this catchphrase. And a lot of people kind of buy into this kind of catchphrase, and I kind of want to use that as our launching point. It's a movie named Jerry Maguire. I'm not endorsing the movie at all, but at the end of the movie, Tom Cruise, the character that he's playing, Jerry Maguire, is coming. He's had an impasse with his wife, and they're separated. And he goes to find her in the middle of a women's divorced and lonely group, and divulges how Dorothy is his life is meaningless without his wife. And without her in his life, and his speech gets to this big dramatic conclusion when he ends with these words, when he looks at her and he says, "You complete me." And people, you know, it's, oh, it's a big mushy thing. And here's the problem. After that, they kind of live with their happily ever after. And the philosophy is kind of here. It's like if you have a, you know, an incomplete person, a half a person finds another incomplete person, a half a person, and somehow they're going to come together and make a whole person. And I found that, to be honest, I want to talk kind of about those types of relationships. While they can offer a short-term distraction, very, very rarely, when you look to another human being to fulfill you, does it work out well? Because it's based solely upon emotion and feeling, which is what we want to talk about today, about the correct place of our emotions and our feelings in the confines of God's plan for marriage. Because a lot of us, we have lots of feelings, we have lots of emotions in the covenant of marriage. But where is the right place to have them? Okay? Because they're wonderful and they're great, but they can also be deadly. Too many people feel that they need to find a human being, another person to complete them. And so they run the error of putting the responsibility of fulfillment upon their spouse. And to that end, I would say the following equation is more accurate than a half plus a half equals a whole. Because in God's, when God is involved in relationships, it's not about addition, it's actually about multiplication. In Scripture, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, I think around verse 30, it says, one of us can put 1,000 to flight, and two of us, if math is there, then two would be 2,000, but that's not what the Scripture says. It says two of us can put 10,000, okay? So in God's economy, when God's involved, it's always something more, it's greater. And so if we're looking at multiplication in terms of relationship, what we get is one half times one half equals what, math people? One quarter. One half times a half isn't a whole. It's a quarter. And we see that happen when we approach marriage in such a way that we're putting all of these expectations of fulfillment upon our spouse, rather than where they should be. You know, don't put God expectations on your spouse. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. This is going to be our springboard for our conversation today. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete where? We are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. So we're living in a day and age right now where the fundamental principles of marriage have been ripped outside of the confines of God, who in fact created marriage. And what we're seeing in verse 8, they're being pinned upon the moorings of our carnal philosophy, empty deceit, and the tradition of men, and the basic principles of the world. So my question is, Is our concept of marriage based in the in what God created it to be, in God's original intent, or is it in the philosophy of man and the tradition of the world? So that's where I want to start, because we have to be very, very careful and to find our completeness in Christ. So my first point for us here today is simply this: it is Christ who completes us. It is Christ who completes us. Now, we have to take care of, not putting God's expectation, the things that God is supposed to do in our life, we're not supposed to transfer those solely upon our spouse. And I think sometimes we just expect our spouse to fix all of our needs and to make everything better, and we can allow them to infringe on where God should in fact be in our life. And to that is, we approach it in kind of a selfish way. So the truth is, if Christ completes us and we are complete in Christ, then how we approach marriage is different than how the world approaches marriage, because the world a lot of times approaches marriage with this concept: what can you do for me? When God's instruction of how we are to deal with one another is, how can I serve you? How different would marriage relationships look if we approach them of, what can I do? How can I serve my spouse rather than what can they do for me? So you are called to serve your spouse. Okay? And yes, that's a mutual thing, but according to the traditions of this world and according to our current philosophy, it's very selfish. I'm going to tell you, marriage today is very, very selfish in how the world views it. And so therefore the world makes it's very disposable. Whereas God is looking, our approach needs to be that we are called to serve our spouses. And I got to tell you this, marriages thrive when selfishness decreases. Okay? Basic concept: the more selfish that folks are in marriage and in any relationship, let's take it out just the confines of a marriage relationship, healthy relationships, all healthy relationships in families, in anywhere, they thrive when selfishness decreases. I mean, look, as a parent, I love my kids, but sometimes it gets old feeling like an ATM. Anybody else? Amen. Yeah, we got an amen. Yeah, it is. It is. So, you know, it's great. I'm sure it's going to be rough, but it's neat when we understand. But then there's those moments that you get, and sometimes they're very fleeting, where they're not just after you, that they actually just want to give. That's a wonderful thing. It's terrible when you have friendships that can become toxic because one person is constantly, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? And you find yourself wanting to avoid those people. Anybody else? Yeah. There's all those folks in our relationships that can get toxic very quickly because it's just, what can I get? What can I get? What can I get? Rather than what God would have us to approach all of our relationships, especially our marriages, with how can I serve? I am called to serve my spouse. In fact, Jesus' teaching, it says that we should look to serve rather than to be served. If we remember in his upper room, and by the way, the upper room discourse has an awful lot of weight to it because this is his last time talking with his followers. And so the things there, you know, if it's your last conversation, those words are going to be kind of weighty. And so Jesus lets them know, look, the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all. And certainly if that's how we're supposed to entreat our brothers and sisters, that would hold to scrutiny. That's how we should treat our spouses. Now, I want to kind of put a caveat there to say it is okay to communicate your needs to your spouse. That is wonderful and it's very good. It's something that we teach a lot in our premarital counseling is communicate your needs to your spouse. Because I have yet to find somebody who is married to a psychic or somebody who reads minds. Anybody married to a mind reader? And yet we think that our spouses are supposed to read our minds. Because after all, if we've lived together this long, they should know what I want, right? That's a reason that we fight. It's a reason that we fight. Because we assume, we expect, and we're putting an expectation of omniscience upon our spouse rather than effectively communicating, this is what I need. Okay? So it's okay to communicate your needs to your spouse. And those needs are not just physical. Yes, they are physical, but they are also emotional, physical, and spiritual needs. Okay? A healthy way to view your spouse is not what can I get, but how can I serve? But it is okay to let them know, here are some things that I need. And then we recognize that we are called to walk with each other and Christ will fulfill, but God can also use you. So there are some needs that my spouse has. There are some needs that I have. And God does use us to help fulfill those needs. And that's all wonderful and great. But again, we have to recognize it is Christ ultimately. So be careful with this when it comes to serving our spouse, when it comes to communicating our needs. I do want to say this, that sometimes when we're trying to serve our spouse or to do things for our spouse, have any of you ever, I like to do things for my spouse when I feel like it, but I really don't like to do things for my spouse when I don't feel like it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. There are things that you have to be careful about that. You have to be careful of being yoked in because serving your spouse is more than just feelings. It is a commitment. It is a covenant. And I'd say, again, when I'm given these principles, they're not just in terms of marriage. They can work in all of our relationships and they can work in our relationship in terms of with us and God because everything in marriage and Scripture is a relation of between Christ and the church. So we're supposed to walk together and we're supposed to do so in such a way that we serve each other, not just when it's convenient, not just when we feel like it. So I've got this thing that always happens. I'm guilty of this horrible, heinous crime of deception because sometimes in the middle of the night, I'm laying there asleep and I hear this sound. Yeah. And our cat pukes. That was a nice example, wasn't it? The dog is worse because it's... No, I'm not going to do that one. I should want to serve my... Not trying to gross everybody out, really. I should want to serve my spouse, but I pretend that I'm asleep. And honestly, we joke about that in our life. But the deal is, there are some times that we think maybe we should serve our spouse, and there are times that we really don't feel like serving our spouse, and there are times that or our brothers and sisters. And I guess the question is, should we follow our emotions, and should we let our emotions, and should we only serve when we feel like it? That's my question. Should we only serve when we feel like it? Am I the only person who's ever done that with a dog or a cat or anything? I guess I am. Okay. That's why we kick them out. Yeah. Gross. Pray for your pastor. There you go. Here's why. Because if we lock ourselves into only doing for one another according to our emotions or according to our feelings, we can get in deep, deep trouble because feelings are rough. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. One of my favorite verses in Scripture, to be honest. Because it says something deep about our heart. And those of you who know me, you know that I hate the expression. I really think it's a bad expression that a lot of us maybe have given to us. Maybe we've even been guilty of sharing this. We tell people, Follow your heart. Follow your heart. If you just follow your heart, everything will work out. Here's what I got to say to that. That's bad counsel. That is bad counsel. Let me tell you something about your heart. Your heart is selfish. Your heart, my heart is selfish. My carnal heart, it is looking out for number one. It wants to get a full 8 hours of sleep and not clean up hairballs at 2 a.m. in the morning. My heart is not thinking about my wife's needs. My heart, my carnal mind is always there. And if you don't think you're, look, in a few weeks, you're going to get your directory, hopefully. And when you get your directory, I guarantee you, you're going to open it up and the first page you're going to look for is your picture and your phone number, aren't you? Am I not telling the truth? Why? Because we're selfish. Because at heart, we are selfish and our feelings are there. And Jeremiah has a fantastic concept for us so that we can see. Why not follow your heart? Well, first of all, to understand what the heart is, remember our last series on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We have to understand that this heart is the seat of our emotions and our will. It's where we think. It's where we get things in. It's those feelings that are tied to a part of it. And here's what Jeremiah says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? How many of you times have you thought something, think, man, I wish I wasn't feeling this way, but boy, I feel this way. Right? Feelings can get you in trouble because feelings can be inaccurate. Ezekiel says that what we need to understand about how to deal with our heart, our emotions, our feelings is this. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you and I will give you what, gang? A new heart and a new spirit I will put within you and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that selfishness is toxic in a relationship, and our heart, many times, our feelings are all about me, me, me. How can you make me feel good? I think that, you know, when I'm dealing with that part, it's selfish to the core. It's always looking out for number one. And that carnal heart is ruled by emotions. Ever have trouble forgiving somebody? Well, you just don't know what they did. If you really know what they did, then those are things that come in. My selfish heart wants to be satisfied. My emotions constantly want to be satisfied. It wants that to happen. And I want you to know this, that when I feed it, it grows. If you're living by your emotions, when you feed them, it will grow. It will grow. Anybody know anybody who's a drama queen or a drama king? Yeah. If you're ruled by your emotions, it's just going to get out of control and it will eventually rule you. In marriage, look to have Christ as Lord of your heart, not your emotions rule your heart. And so my next point for us here today is simply this. Lead your heart in marriage. When it comes to marriage, do not follow your emotions. Lead your heart. Does that mean we're not supposed to have feelings? Of course you're supposed to have feelings. But you're supposed to rule your feelings, not allow your feelings and emotions rule you. Amen? That was not a very emphatic amen. I didn't feel like it. That's why. To grow in your marriage, there is a key element. Do not be led by your emotions. I got to tell you, feelings ebb and flow. Feelings, especially in marriage, they ebb and flow. I've talked with people, you know, who've been married many, many years longer than me. And a lot of them said, yeah, we've had good times. We've had hard times. You know what? We tried to stick it out and we tried to look to this and we tried to understand that there are difficult times and feelings are unpredictable and feelings are very easily influenced. How many of you got out of bed and you're having a great day? It's going to be a great day and you're going through your world and you bump into one person and one encounter and all of a sudden it's all. You ever had Sister Persimmon suck your joy? Yeah, there's always that one Debbie Downer who just grabs you and all of a sudden you're like, ugh. It just ruins, you know, I've said all along, you know, 50 people can say something good and one person can say something negative, and all of a sudden your whole day is crashed because of one comment. Why? Because feelings are unpredictable and they are very easily influenced. And I got to tell you, your feelings can be wrong. I lost track of how many people have come up from time to time and been like this. Yeah, you know, we like to talk. We start to have a conversation. They're like, "Are you mad at me?" "No." "Well, I thought you were mad at me. And because I thought you were mad at me, I haven't talked to you for like 2-3 weeks. And I've needed to talk to you." That happens in marriage all the time. That happens in our relationships all the time. And the truth is, we make decisions based on feelings, not necessarily based on fact. And those things can be very devastating. And to this, once again, let me tell you, what you feed grows and what you starve dies. Those of you in the room who've had conversations with people who weren't there, you're mad at somebody or you're upset with somebody and they're not there, and yet you start playing it in your mind and you have the conversation. Next thing you get madder and madder and madder. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. What you feed grows and what you starve dies. And far too many relationships, not just marriages, far too many relationships in general feed the stuff that is negative, and it just continues to go. And then you make decisions, huge decisions, based in wrong evidence. And by the way, Satan can give you bad evidence, and he loves to whisper in your ear. Remember Joseph? Was taken, sold by his brothers, thrown in a pit. And then they took his coat of many colors and they killed an animal and they put the blood, and then they took it too. They brought evidence. Was this right evidence? No. They brought evidence. And all of a sudden, Jacob's like, "Oh," what does he do? He jumps to the conclusion, "My son has been killed by a wild animal." Satan brings all kinds of evidence and he likes to frame things. He's a good accuser of the brethren. He's a good accuser. He likes to spin things in a way. He likes to whisper in your ear, "No one cares about you." He likes to whisper, "There's no hope." He likes to tell you, "It'll never get any better." He wants to tell you, "This can never change. It can never." I'm here to tell you, it can change. As I've done enough counseling with and enough talking with people who've been in times where they're just like, "Ugh, I just can't stand this person." And as quickly as you got into that mode, God can change your heart, soften it, and you can break through, and it can be wonderful. Been there, done that. So it's hard, gang. Don't be ruled by your emotions, but to lead your heart in marriage. Because decisions based on feelings, gang, are like buildings with foundations on the sand. They turn, they go this way or that, they're constantly changing. It's not a secure foundation. And just because you have a feeling doesn't mean it's correct. I've had that happen. There's people who I thought, there's this one lady I was getting ready to, early on, I think I was here about my first couple of years. And there's this one individual, and boy, every time on Sunday mornings I'd look back, and this individual, I thought, "Whoo, she does not like me. She just give me this." I thought, okay, I'm just going to stay away. I'd constantly just give her a really, really wide berth. And I remember having a surgery. This individual was getting ready to have a surgery, and I went over to her house, knocked on her door, and the whole time I'm like, "Oh, I don't do this. I know that's bad." Like I can just see what's going to happen. I had in my mind all set that this person couldn't stand me. I walked in there and we sat down, and I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Had the most wonderful conversation. And it wasn't anything to do with me. It wasn't anything to do with that. And we became dear friends. I know. So, guys, lead your heart. Lead your heart. And if you don't lead your heart, that's why you'll go to bed angry. I mean, scripture's really good for reason. Paul's, like we looked at last week, it's good advice. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Look, there's a reason for that. It's okay to be angry. It's wrong to harbor anger. And the only way, I'm telling you this, your spouse knows your secrets and they can make you mad more than anybody else. Yeah? Oh, we're not going to say that. Yeah, absolutely. If you are led by your emotions, you will never be able to put that scripture into practice, not letting the sun go down on your anger. If you lead your emotions, you can tell your emotions, I have anger, but anger doesn't have me. I am angry. I'm going to process it. We'll pick it up and we'll deal with it later. But as of right now, I've made covenant and we are not limited to our emotions. We are not ruled by our emotions. Now, to that end, one more piece of advice in not being ruled by your emotions and feelings change is this. Paul says, bad company corrupts good character. Many folks in our society today, quite frankly, need to change the channel. Here's what I mean about changing the channel. Quit running around with folks who encourage infidelity and folks who encourage divorce. Quit running around with individuals who want to constantly say not to work and not to fight and not to continue. You need to change the channel. And that includes your media. That includes movies. That includes all, and I know it's all around us. And simply, oh, nowadays we're like, oh, we can even go see Disney movies. No, you got to watch every message that's being given to your kids and then come back around and have a conversation of how this relates to Scripture. I really think you should. I think you're foolish not to. And we live in a society that is inundating us with the whole concept that's about marriage that is not God's plan for marriage. And God has given us. And so some of us, we need to change the channel. Going on, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 through 6, just one more scripture after this. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I think that there's some really good stuff in here. Be content with what you have. Many people become discontent in their marriage because they look at the fallacy of what they see in a movie. What is the purpose of a movie? To make money. All right? And how do they make money? They take your money. That's the purpose. They may have a mess. I know amen to that one too. Yes. Okay? So look, quit getting your theology from Hollywood. Quit getting your idea of what marriage is by individuals who don't embrace what God's plan for marriage is. You know, some people in social media, oh, I'm so discontent. Well, I just look at their lives and their lives are so great. Their Facebook posts. I'm guaranteeing you this. You know, oh, it's like our Facebook posts of our kids. Oh, my kid just won this. Oh, my kid's the best at this. Oh, my kid's number one. Here's what they don't post. My kid blew out his diaper on the way to church today and I had to come back and turn. Well, I don't see that post anywhere. No, that's not trending. And we got to be trending. Hashtag poopy diaper. Okay. We had a joke with our kiddo. There wasn't a restaurant in town that our kiddo hadn't gotten sick at. I never posted any of those. Oh, no, but she wins a 3-point contest. Whoa, this is wonderful. Great. Not that, hey, yeah, we've thrown up there. Yeah, we know where all these restrooms are. We don't put, why? And so when people look, and they do that with marriage as well. And again, I'm not bashing on this, but understand and watch the discontentment. Do not be led by your emotions. Lead your emotions. And after all, you are not alone, which we've said every week. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Okay? Don't put the unrealistic expectation on your spouse. But here's what you should do instead. Bless your spouse. Everybody say this. Bless your spouse. Come on, everybody. Bless your spouse. Bless your spouse. Find a way to bless them. The world, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Quit doing Satan's job. Man, we have put Satan in an unemployment line. I don't have anything to do. All Christians are doing it for themselves. They're doing all my work. Bless your spouse. Bless them. Bless them. Pray for them. Know that you have chosen to walk with them and that God and you together with multiplication, they are better. You are able to conquer any obstacle, gang. Okay? Look to what you can give, not what you are only able to get. And from a personal experience, sometimes I'm guilty of this as well. Sometimes my wife has communicated her needs to me. And if I'm led by my emotions, I'll have a jerk response, which means I'll roll my eyes or I'll think, Well, why would you need that? Because we're different. My needs aren't the same. Doesn't make me better. Doesn't make me worse. Let me wrap this all up with this final verse today. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion. Let's read this list here. Let's just read this together with me. Ready? Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Pause right there. As I look at these things, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, my parting shot. And I'm guilty of this as well. There are times I can give a total stranger compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. There are times I can give my church members compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. There are times I can give everybody else around, a complete stranger at the grocery store, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And there are times that we struggle to give those same things to our spouse. We take them for granted, and we quit being kind. We quit being kind. Brothers and sisters, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against the other, put it in the back of your memory for 6 months and bring it up the next time you fight. I'm sorry, that's not what it says now, is it? No. If you have a complaint against one another, what does it say? Forgive. Forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of God, of Christ, dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord, in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. I can just kind of wrap this all in this. Kindness is king. It breaks my heart when we take our spouses for granted, and I'm guilty just as much as anyone else. It breaks my heart when we forget, when we get so used to one another that we stop being kind to one another. So let's look to do that. Let's look to be loving. Let's look to be respectful. Let's look to be kind. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.